This morning we have two scripture readings. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. From Baruch chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name righteous, peace, godly, glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. And from Philippians 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
Good morning. I have to say that the welcome that I got this morning when I first arrived here was so warm and wonderful, and it's been so long since I've been able to like really be a part of in-person church community. So I'm so extremely grateful to be here with you all this morning, including those of you online. And I also remembered that when I wrote this little bio that you heard earlier, I wrote that I was on track to be ordained, which is still very true. But I realized that I technically have been approved for ordination. So that's a little correction there, and also a yay! To add a little bit to that, a lot of you might know my dad as well. My parents have come here every once in a while to be a part of this community. My dad is Darren Galindo, and some of you recognize that name very easily. So it's kind of interesting being in the spaces that my dad used to be in, ministering. That's just kind of a fun thing. And also my mom is Presbyterian, so it's kind of like all these weird worlds coming together. But in the end, I just want to say thank you, and it is, as always, a complete honor to be here with all of you this morning. Please join me in prayer. God be in our minds and in our thinking. God be in our eyes and in our seeing. God be in our mouths and in our speaking. God be in our hearts and in our doing. Amen. So, the theme for this morning is making room for the holy, or preparing the inn. And I love this theme. And I think now, especially, is a great time to be looking at scripture with this theme, because there are so many ways that we have had to make room for new things in our lives, especially these past 2 years. And for many of us, that change has been a necessity, but also become a chance to change things that we already said we were going to change, or things that we said we were going to change and then like never really got to. We were like, oh, it's on my list, don't worry about it. I had to do a lot of changing, especially when the pandemic really started to affect our lives. One of the first really signal for me that things were going to change was a large event that I was going to attend was suddenly canceled. And that was really shocking to me in a lot of ways, because this event actually was to go see the Reverend William Barber speak at my alma mater at Chapman University. And he was advised to cancel the event because of his health concerns and to protect him. And that was really shocking at that point in time, which really I think it shouldn't have been, but that was the eye-opener for me. And the second thing, which I'm sure a lot of us have similar stories, is suddenly all of my classes went online. I was still in seminary, and I had some online classes, but most of them were still in person, and then suddenly all of them were in person. Suddenly all of them were online. And that was very strange for all of us, because I had a lot of teachers that didn't really know how to make this class online. So there was a lot of change there too. And I was also in the middle of an internship, and this internship was at a fairly large church in the area. And suddenly that internship went almost fully online as well. And this was a congregation of easily 300 people. And I have a picture in my phone still of the first Sunday we went fully online, and it was just this giant sanctuary completely empty on a Sunday morning. And that was the moment where I was like, ooh, okay. I have to think about things a little bit more now. I was also teaching a confirmation class that suddenly had to go on Zoom. So many things. I'm sure all of you have your own stories about this as well. And so while I was reminiscing about these times, I was thinking about how much this has more deeply changed our lives, and I wanted to look at some research about it. So I found a Pew Research study on Americans and the effect that COVID has had on their lives. And in this research, most people responded with negative comments, which is not surprising in many ways. But many of those people mentioned something positive as well. Of the people that mentioned something negative, they also mentioned something positive, which is kind of interesting. And I'm bringing this up not to lessen the severity of COVID or the pain that of the lives that have been lost due to COVID, but to reflect on the past almost 2 years that this has been going on and how it's changed us. So in this study, 41% of people mentioned strain on relationships, either with loss of contact or the now much more crowded living situations that they found themselves in. But 33% mentioned having more quality time with their spouses and their immediate family. So a kind of one of those like negative, but also a positive. Many people had their routines severely disrupted, but were also able to begin new hobbies. I think one of the things I took up, I started doing some cross stitching, which is really interesting. Yeah. And then I also got on TikTok, which I have yet to decide if that was a good or bad thing. To be determined at a later time. And then there's others that have barely been able to make enough to get by and pay bills and feeding their families. And other people have been saving money because they've been going out so much less. Oh, and then there's the teachers and the service workers and those people that have really been on the front lines of everything going on. And I'm not sure how many of you are teachers, but my mother is a teacher, and she really has taken the brunt of what has happened, especially when working with so many children who's come from so many different backgrounds and each have their own story, of course. And then my partner works in the restaurant industry, and the people that were going to restaurants kind of in the middle of the pandemic are really not the people you ever want to be around in a pandemic. So just keep that in mind. But it was the teachers and the service workers that really have been pushed to their limits. And I've seen that front and center, and my heart goes out to all of you who may have also had to deal with that as well. And then, of course, finally, this study found that Americans have had a decrease in the quality of their mental and physical health the longer the pandemic has gone on. And I'm sure that we all can relate to that. And this is not only the loss from loved ones and also dealing with health problems because of COVID, but also just stress and depression. Now, I know this is a lot of information, but I offer it in hopes that you will see that you're not alone in these complex feelings of being in a pandemic. And as we approach the Advent season and the beginning of another year, still dealing with the effects of the pandemic, there are a lot of things to consider. The holidays this year will be different again from last year and the year before. And the uncertainty of the future still looms over our heads. So, our Baruch text also speaks about a time of uncertainty. The section that we read today is a piece of a poem where Jerusalem is personified as a mother of the Jews. And there aren't too many parts of scripture where this happens, but when it does, Jerusalem is always portrayed as a mother and co-parent of the Jews with God. And our scripture is a part of a larger poem in which Jerusalem is mourning the Jews and their exile from her, because this poem takes place during the Babylonian exile, and where the Jews were forced from their homes. And there's a lot happening around this scripture. But what I want to focus on today is the way that Jerusalem reaches towards the Jews in a motherly way without blame towards her children or to God. And even in her mourning, turns to joy in knowing that God is a God of transformation. And that's the part of the scripture that we kind of see today, is that joy and that thanksgiving. So Jerusalem, in her motherly way, pleads with her children, the Jews, to respect God and to respect God's ways, and also pleads with God to have compassion with human mistakes and failures. And the poem ends with the promise of righteous peace and faith not only in God, not faith not only that God will lift them up once again, but faith in the Jews and their resilience. The scripture speaks very strongly to God's justice and mercy in the world. God isn't a God of punishment and reward, but a God of accountability and transformation and justice. God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. Over and over again, God is with us. The Jews in this story, although sent away, were not given up on. They were offered a chance to transform and to create something new and to reflect on where they've been and where they go from here. And in the Philippians text, we see a similar energy from Paul, who writes this letter from a jail cell in Rome, which I feel like all of Paul's letters are written from a jail cell in Rome. That's something to think about later. But in the part of Paul's letter that we're reading today is a prayer of thanksgiving to the church of Philippi and their good works and faith in God and their continuing work in Jesus, which was a common piece of many of Paul's letters, is having a section of thanksgiving. Paul finds himself in a situation and a place where he could be killed or die and leave behind the churches that he has been in relationship with. His life work helping form a church could very potentially fall apart with his death. However, Paul understands that it's not his relationship to the church that is most important, but the church's relationship to God. Paul understood that God was a God of transformation and found peace in knowing that God would care for the church of Philippi. And in a way, it was Paul's joy and peace that was also a direct protest against what the Romans were doing to him, throwing him in jail for his work. Paul was saying that even in the face of possible death, his peace could not be shaken. As we draw closer to Christmas and make our way through Advent, where are we finding peace? And not just moments of peace, but righteous peace. Peace that still stands when things around us are changing. This time of year, it can be difficult to find that peace, especially if we have other things going on, or maybe this just is a difficult time for us in general. But that might mean that we need to find new space to make our peace more accessible. There are opportunities for creating space for peace anywhere. You don't have to do it alone either. We are an imperfect community of people all searching for closeness to God and the righteous peace that comes with that. Sometimes finding righteous peace means creating a space out of something that already exists. So that could be a sacred space. It could be somewhere in your home. Maybe you have a favorite chair that you go to relax in, or maybe you have a space in your backyard that you enjoy to sit in. Maybe it's your bed. Maybe the only peace you really find is when you're unconscious, and that's okay too. And if it's not a physical place, maybe it's a memory of someone who in your eyes represented righteous peace. Maybe your peace can be found in yourself. Maybe it's you from another time. Maybe it's a memory of a friend. Maybe it's an experience that you shared with others. All of these things, all of these places and things can be spaces where the divine are welcome and free to be fully present and move us. So I wonder what your space looks like. I wonder what your righteous peace feels like. I pray that we are able to reflect on our lives and find peace and find space for righteous peace, whether we find that space within ourselves or in others or in sacred spaces or anywhere else that we may happen upon it. May God be with us through it all. Amen.